Today on the Inland Journal podcast, training physician assistants in Spokane. Spokane has a robust set of health professional training programs. Washington State University and the University of Washington each train future physicians here, the UW in partnership with Gonzaga. All five higher education institutions have some form of nurses training. WSU offers joint degrees with Eastern Washington and Whitworth Universities. Gonzaga and the community colleges of Spokane have their own programs. WSU trains pharmacists, speech and hearing professionals, and nutrition and exercise physiologists. Eastern trains physical and occupational therapists. Eastern and the UW combine to offer the first year of dental training here, and the U offers its physician assistant program here. It's called MedX Northwest. Last week, 30 new physician assistants collected their master's degrees in a ceremony at Gonzaga.
I want to be one of the first to congratulate you on the accomplishment of being able to endure such a rigorous program and to make it to this day. So congratulations.
Dr. Terry Scott is the program director for MedX. The profession of physician assistant goes back to the late 1960s.
For those in the audience primarily, let me indulge you with a brief historical perspective that's pertinent to our graduation today.
This is Mark Hawkins, the MedX Associate Program Director of Clinical Affairs.
In the mid-1960s, physician shortages and uneven distribution of primary care doctors were creating an enormous strain on the nation's healthcare delivery system. At that same time, and despite the extensive medical training and experiences among military combat medics and corpsmen, there were no corresponding civilian healthcare professions where these skilled veterans could make full use of their expertise. A remarkable visionary, Dr. Eugene Stead, Jr., then chairman of the Department of Medicine at Duke University, believed in his heart that a new breed of practitioners could increase consumer access to healthcare services, and thus he enrolled the first class of former military medics into a new program designed to train physician extenders. In doing so, Dr. Stead developed this new curriculum based partly on the fast-track physician training implemented by the military during World War II. And subsequently to that, the very first PAs graduated in 1967. In the late 1960s, Dr. Richard Smith also recognized this need, particularly throughout the rural communities of the Pacific Northwest. After receiving funding for a federal demonstration project in 1966, Dr. Smith enrolled the first class of former military medics and corpsmen into the new MedX Northwest program at the University of Washington.
That first class graduated in 1969. MedX added its Spokane training program 21 years ago. It also has training programs in Tacoma and Anchorage, Alaska, and recently announced plans to extend itself to Hawaii. Michael Smith is the Spokane site director.
So how does a physician assistant differ from a physician?
So a lot of it has to do with training and a scope of practice. Actually, our training model is based on medical school model, or the medical model that was actually used to fast-track physicians during World War II. So our program is shorter in duration, and then our scope of practice is somewhat limited. PAs actually work under the direct supervision of a physician or an MD or a DO. So we work in tandem, work as a team with those individuals. In primary care, family practice type settings, PAs can do probably about 80 to 90% of what a family practice physician can do. Our job is really to take, see maybe some things that are lower acuity, lesser acuity, and free up the physician to do things that are a little more higher acuity, if that makes sense.
So you made reference to a DO, a doctor of osteopathy, which is kind of holistic sort of thing. Does the PA have that same sort of approach?
You know, we do try to teach our students to address the patient in kind of this mind, body, spirit, or biologically, psychologically, and social type, all these aspects of the human condition. We follow more of a traditional MD type model, but there are DO schools that actually have PA programs, and PAs can work with the provider and actually mimic or get trained, kind of on-the-job training, if you will, when you're working with your supervising clinicians. So, yeah, school doesn't stop. This is lifelong learning.
So you also have, University of Washington also has medical students on this Gonzaga campus. How do you interact with them? Where do you intersect, and then where do you sort of diverge?
Well, we definitely share space. Our faculty doesn't necessarily teach in the MD program, but we do have some of their faculty, and actually some of their graduates will definitely come in and teach our students as well. And so, and then they end up working together when they graduate and they're out in the community.
So back to the training, medical students do 2 years essentially in clinic. I guess UW is now 1.5 and 2.5, 1.5 in classroom, 2.5 out. Mm-hmm. How do physician assistant programs break that out?
So, you know, on average, there are over 200 programs in the United States, and on average, there is a didactic year or year plus, sometimes it's a year and a half, and then there's a clinical year, and it could be plus or minus. So programs across the board are going to average between 2 years and two to 2.5, somewhere in there in most programs.
So there's a lot of discussion in some of the other health professionals, pharmacists, for example, as to what is the scope of a pharmacist these days, and what can nurses and nurse practitioners do that they used to not be able to do. PAs allowed to do more things than they used to.
Yeah, my father was actually a PA. He was one of graduated from the Army's program in the early 70s, so very early days of the PA profession. Back then, I think the scope of what a PA could do was fairly limited, and even when I graduated 25 years ago, PAs probably only worked in a few specialties. I worked in family practice, you could go to orthopedics, ENT, and do a few different things, but now, what I would call is, our students that are graduating now, I'd call third-generation PAs. So they're old enough to be my kids. Yeah, they can work in just about in any subspecialty you can imagine in medicine. So the door is really opened for what they can do. You know, it can be anywhere from cardiothoracic surgery to interventional radiology, you know, and of course the everything that I had mentioned before is family practice.
Do you see PAs as a bigger part in rural medicine, as many small towns cannot attract doctors, so they turn toward nurse practitioners and PAs, which are more than just a registered nurse,
right,
but not quite a doctor. Are more of
right.
your folks going to rural areas?
That's actually one of the missions of the MedX program, to help get providers in rural and to see underserved populations. That's actually one of the key things that we look for in our applicants. Will, you know, are they likely to stay in the Northwest? Is this the kind of person that's going to go back and serve their community back home? So it's actually something that we want our folks to do. It's actually PAs, nurse practitioners, are a good solution to the healthcare crisis. And they probably are more likely to go work in smaller areas than physicians. It's, I think we're a great answer to at least part of that problem.
And are you getting more applicants, more demand for folks who want to be PAs?
I would say that yes. I think if you look at the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistic data, that the profession is supposed to grow by 30-some percent in the next decade. And it's been like that for a number of years. So the demand is increasing. I'm a baby boomer. I am part of the, you know, the gray tsunami, I guess is what they'd call it. People are just living longer, and as people age, they typically have more health issues, and so that requires more health providers to take care of an aging population.
Are practices hiring more PAs because they're seen as cheaper than physicians?
Yeah, we are very cost effective. I think, you know, if you look at the salary from what you would pay a PA, the average in Washington State now is just a little over $120,000 for a physician assistant. You know, a MD would probably cost a little over $200,000 in primary care, and for certain subspecialties, you know, $300,000-$500,000, depending on what it is that you do. So for $125,000 to get, you know, about 80% of what a physician could do, yes, we can be very cost effective.
So you've got 30 students who are going to graduate tomorrow as we talk. Where are you going to send them? Where are they going off to work?
Well, we've recruited them from the WAMI region. That's Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, Idaho. Probably 80% of them came from that region, and most of them are going to remain in this region. Some will go back home. Some of them we've converted to Washingtonians now, so I'm proud to say that. over half of them will probably go into primary care, and the about the 40% will go into surgical and other subspecialties, medicine subspecialties. So they will be out in the community.
Michael Smith is the Spokane Site Director for the University of Washington's MedX Physician Assistant Training Program.
Good morning. I'm honored to present the Spirit of MedX Award.
This is Patty Hahn from the MedX Spokane faculty.
I'm honored to present Spokane Class 21 MedX Spirit of MedX Award to Mr. Matt Grizzo.
Matthew Grizzo is a Southern California native who moved to Spokane to become a physician assistant. His story is consistent with the reasons for creating the PA profession in the first place.
I was a paramedic for about 10 years, and I was working in a penitentiary, and I got injured very badly in a fight with an inmate, and it ended my career. And I was trying to figure out how I could stay in medicine, but I couldn't be a paramedic anymore. And the PAs I had worked with at the time really pushed me to consider this as the next option, you know, to where it was time for me to up-level my education, still stay within medicine, but no longer be the physical strength of the medicine and be more the cognitive side.
What is it about what a physician's assistant does that appeals to you rather than a nurse practitioner or a physician, a licensed physician, an MD?
So the basis of the PA, the physician assistant, comes from the people who had an enormous amount of training while in the military, working as military surgeons or something within that background, but they weren't trained MDs or DOs. And once they came back from the wartime conflict, they had this immense training, but there was nothing that really they could do with it. And so it took these people who were formerly corpsmen, and it transitioned them into this alternative model of advanced provider that was an MD. And that seemed to fit with who I was. You know, I wasn't a military paramedic, I was a civilian. But I felt like I had this knowledge base and I'd been doing all these things, and there wasn't much I could do with it in that role. Like, once I got injured, it was time to move on, and the PA profession really played to that strength. These people with this background who were looking to move to the next level. So the PA model fit me extremely well. And what I loved about the PA model is it's rooted in what we consider the medical model. It is born and bred from the traditional physician training. We just kind of compress it to what it's become today. The nurse practitioner system, I couldn't go into because you have to be a nurse prior. And it didn't make sense to go to nursing school and then NP school, whereas I could use my background as a paramedic to go into PA.
So have you got your next gig lined up after you graduate?
I do. I'm going to be working at the VA hospital here in Spokane. I was lucky enough to receive a scholarship from the National VA, where they've paid for my education, and in return, I agreed to work for them for 2 years post-graduation. Luckily for me, I love the VA system, and I worked there for 8 years down in the Los Angeles area, so I was already planning on working there, and it just worked out to where they also ended up paying for my education. So the Spokane VA, as of this morning, finally sent me my tentative offer, and I'm going to be staying right here local.
So do you have a patient load like a physician would have, mm-hmm. where you'll see 10 patients a day or whatever it is that that is?
Right. The VA system sets it up to where the advanced practice providers are functioning within their own system. So I will have a team of providers that are helping. So I'll have an RN, LPN, an MSA as part of my team. Then we also have clinical pharmacists and then social work psychology as adjuncts to the team. And then we have a patient panel of approximately 900 patients, which is actually much lower than what the private sector has, because the VA has like a congressional mandate that they cannot have these exorbitant patient loads, because we're really focused on making sure everybody gets the appropriate care. So 900 patients would be my assignment, and that gradually grows as I'm there. They don't give me all 900 on day one. There's a introduction time frame. But after an allotted amount of time, I'm just practicing, and I have a physician available to consult if necessary and when necessary. And it's just up to me to know when to use all of the tools within my team.
Matthew Grisso recently graduated as a physician assistant from the University of Washington's MedX program. Before he can begin practicing, he must pass a licensing exam. He'll take that soon. By the way, 11 of the 30 students who graduated this time are from Spokane and 2 from Coeur d'Alene. You can subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. Your comments and story ideas are always welcome at inlandjournal@kpbx.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Doug Nadvornik.